Hello and welcome to this season one of our new podcast here at Howden Employee Benefits and Wellbeing. My name's Matthew Gregson, Head of Corporate here at Howden, and I'll be taking us through this summer's podcast series. The name we've come up for this season one is there being no excuse for bad benefits, as we ultimately believe that with the right approach, which is what we intend to share with you over this series, every business can have exactly the right benefits for the company, for your employees, and for your budget. So episode one today, our topic is taking a step back. So looking at how you undertake a fundamental review of your offering that should set you up for the next 3 to 5 years. And there's three key takeaways that admittedly I'm going to whiz us through today, as the future episodes will start to go into a lot more detail. And those are how to review and measure your current performance, what inputs you need to bring in to aid your decision making, then ultimately what the building blocks are of a reimagined or great new offer. So with all of that in mind, let's get straight into proceedings. So what does it typically look like if we have bad benefits, if we haven't reviewed them in a long time? Well, for me, there are four telltale signs which can all be at the very least qualified, if not quantified. And as they say, you cannot manage things that you do not measure. So I'm a great believer in the fact that we should be aiming towards measurements of these things. The first is cost. Now that might sound straightforward, but ultimately for all of us, there's a question as to whether or not we truly know, firstly, how much we're spending on our benefits program, all told, which benefits and which services we're spending it on, and then which employees we're ultimately spending it on. So who's taking advantage of that offer? Having an understanding of those costs is absolutely critical, either as an absolute monetary amount or indeed as a percentage of payroll, because then it helps us understand the level of return on investment that we should expect to get from the program. And that's the second key metric that I think it's really worth focusing on. I think most of us would agree that the purpose of having a great benefits program is to attract and engage and motivate the best employees to help us execute our business plans, and therefore understanding whether or not they value and appreciate that investment in benefits is absolutely critical. And that could take the form of something as simple as like a net promoter score, a kind of on a scale of 1 to 10, to what extent do they value or appreciate the benefits program that's on offer to them. And those are probably the two most important metrics, because if you like, one gives us the return and the other the investment in our return on investment equation. And that can be very much plotted out on a chart to help us understand whether or not we're using our investments wisely today or not. But those aren't the only metrics it's worth us understanding today in order to help us determine whether or not we're in need of a fundamental review of our benefits. The others being administration. And this is key because as an HR team, you don't want to be overburdened in running the benefits program. As much as you want to deliver something great to your employees, you want to do it as efficiently and as effectively as you can, and without being stuck in the weeds of having to do lots of administration, or indeed paying a third party to do lots of administration for you. So having a handle on how much time and effort and what errors or inaccuracies can creep in as you administer benefits is another great thing to measure. And then finally, it's understanding risk, and this can come in many forms. The financial risk of what exposure does a business have to, say, over inflationary increasing costs year on year, particularly from an insurance perspective. So then looking at operational risks, do you have manual processes that could lead to data breaches and the like? And then finally, reputational risk. We live in a world in which employees can share their views very clearly and easily on public forum. Is it that there's a public perception that you don't offer a compelling program? All in all four of those things, cost, administration, engagement, and risk, are well worth measuring. And as Einstein would say, understanding the problem properly goes 90% of the way towards solving it. So once you have those four elements in mind and understood, you should have a sense of the size of the challenge in front of you, potentially. Are you over or under invested in benefits? Are there certain pockets of your population that you're simply not providing value to today, for example? Once you have all of those, you can start to think about how you'd set out a fundamental review. And for us, this process is nice and straightforward. You normally have a framework against which you would have your objectives or goals in mind, such as employees valuing the program, enhancing employee well-being, helping the attraction of employees, and successfully containing and managing costs and risk and the administration burden. You should then be able to assess your performance against those things in that next level of detail. So for us, there's a whole host of inputs you want to bring into this process, from your business strategy, and let's face it, your business goals about growth are going to be underpinned by business strategies that are only executed by your people strategy. So the first question is, what are those strategies? What goals are you supporting for the business, and how well aligned are you to them? Once you have a clear articulation of that, you can then move on to the other inputs you need to bring in. I talked about having something like a net promoter score to get a sense of employee opinion. Well, go further. Actually do a detailed survey or focus groups or town halls in which you can gather insight from them as to which detailed aspects of the program work for them and not. Is it that they think it's a competitive offer, but it's just executed poorly? Is it that they love the technology you use, but the range of choice doesn't meet their needs and lifestyles or expectations? Ask the right question to get to the heart of what needs to be improved. Then from a benchmarking perspective, I know many of us would prefer to operate in a vacuum, simply set our own agenda, but none of us is an island, and we need to understand what the competition is doing and how that influences and affects the expectations of our employees and candidates. And that's important, not just from what the offer is, but also from a cost perspective as well. How are you investing in the program by comparison to your competition? And then finally, from a cost modeling perspective, do you know what those what-if scenarios look like? If we enhance the benefits in one area, reduce them in others. If we improve the benefits for one cohort, but reduce them for others, what's the potential fallout or impact of that? And are we happy to manage it that way? Ultimately, having had a measure of how you're performing and then bringing all of these inputs into the decision-making process with a clear framework, you should ultimately be able to get some actionable insights that tell you what you should do next and how you should prioritize them. And as much as we're talking relatively abstract or conceptual terms today, ultimately, the decisions that you take are going to come down to certain building blocks or levers that you can pull. Every benefits program, I think, can be defined by its funding. So how much money do you put into the program? Which individual benefits do you invest into, and with which design criteria or funding criteria? And for which employees do you direct that funding towards? For example, do you do the same thing for everybody, or do you have a hierarchical benefit offer whereby employees of a higher grade may well receive a higher entitlement? That's one of the big decision makings that would come out of an exercise like this. Similarly, from a choice perspective, if you're getting the opinions of a very broad and diverse group of employees, then ultimately we need to acknowledge the fact that one size fits all won't necessarily be appropriate. Whether that leads you towards full flexible benefits, or just making sure that the suite of benefits you either fund or offer to your people cater for as many people as you possibly can is key. And then beyond that, how and when they can make their choices, whether or not they can extend them to family members and so on and so forth, is critical to getting that design right. Funding and choice together make up what your benefits program looks like on a piece of paper. But then there are other levers to pull beyond that as well. You have communications. So not only how do you educate and promote the offer to employees, but also how do you gather that continuous feedback from them so you understand how well you're performing and servicing employees. And then finally, the use of technology, whether that's in things like flexible benefits, so actually facilitating enrollment or transactions, or in well-being and digitizing some of the offers that you bring to employees, like employee assistance and counseling programs and virtual GP services. Technology, like with every facet of life and business, has to be a fundamental building block of how we deliver great benefits. So that's almost it for me today for episode one. Think about, as I say, how you can measure the performance today and whether or not you sadly have bad benefits. Then if you need to take that fundamental review, bring all of those key inputs into your decision-making process. and then work out how you prioritize the delivery of those building blocks. And the good news is we're going to cover each of those four building blocks of funding, choice, communications and technology in detail in our subsequent episodes. So that's it from me for today, and I very much hope you can join us for future recordings. Thank you.